Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I got a horse sticker on my Bible.
Thank you all for joining us on this fine morning. I will just move these around for a second if you forgive me. All right. I'm going to ask for participation. So I need everybody to stand up. I'm not joking. Everybody stand up. Okay. I need you for a minute to talk to somebody who is not, that you didn't drive here with, somebody who is not as familiar to you. I need you to tell these people what you're thankful for. Everybody has to do this, and you have a minute. Go ahead. You guys did way better than I thought you were going to do with that. All right, thank you. So I was supposed to speak last Sunday. I probably would have fainted if I tried to get up here, so it's probably good that I didn't. So I thank my brother for covering me. But I had a message prepared on thankfulness for no apparent reason. No, I'm joking, but I think it's always good to remember what to be thankful for. And we'll bring back what we talked about a bit, what you guys talked about, in a second. Certainly, I have lots to be thankful about. I think more than half of the people in this room either came and visited me or sending me messages last week when I was in the hospital with my infection. I came back. So I have lots to be thankful for, and many of them, of those people, are in this room. But thankfulness is a very broad topic that's discussed in the Bible. And what I did a few weeks ago was I did a word study. Now, a word study is simply you think of a word in the Bible that you'd like to study, and you look up every time it's used. There's two ways to do this. You can do the original language word study, where you find a word, you find how it was used in the original language, and you look up all instances of that. I did a bit of that, but mostly I focus on an English word study, where you look up all the instances of the English word in your Bible. And I mostly focused on the New Testament, but the word I focus on is on thank and all of its other forms, thankfulness, thank, giving thanks, and so forth. So a few things popped out of that. First of all, in the word thank in English in its various forms, in the NIV appears 133 times total. 61 of those times for me are found in the Old Testament. The highest number of occurrences found in the Psalms, 27 times. 72 times found in the New Testament. 1 and 2 Corinthians contain 9 and 7 references to thankfulness, which is interesting if you understand the context of 1 Corinthians. Now, the Greek word in the New Testament, I did look that up. We have two Greek words which are always translated to thanks, that being Eucharistio and Eucharistia. Now, they're basically the same words. I think they're just different tenses of the word. One is to be grateful, to feel thankful and give thanks. The other one is the act of giving thanks or thankfulness in itself. Most of the other times, so that's what's that, 44 times, 54 times. Most of the other times are translated thanks from the word charis, which is used 147 times. Generally, that word is translated to be grace or goodwill, thanks in regards to benefits or services or favors that you received. So these are those three are the main words used to be translated to thanks. There's four or so references that contain two other Greek words, but for the sake of time, we won't get into that. So it's a good thing to understand all of the where it's used in the Bible when you do a word study. But another very fun thing to do is to see the first mention of a word and the last mention of the word in a Bible, because it generally reveals a lot or a thought, a word or a thought. Generally, it reveals a lot about the Bible's intent behind that word. And I find that when we look into that, I find it's good to use the Greek word to get the exact first reference as it was intended in the original language compared to just using the English word. So the first time the word thankfulness, or verse is translated into praise or to thank, is found in Genesis 29. Verse 35, you don't have to turn it, we'll read it. It just says, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise or thank the Lord. So she named him Judah, then stopped having children. So the first time the idea of thankfulness, gratefulness, or in this term is translated into praise, came out is the time where Jacob's wife Leah would give birth to Judah. And I think it speaks volumes that the first time we read of thankfulness in the Bible is in regards to a mother thanking God for a son. But I think if we understand the Bible a bit more, I think we even get a bigger understanding, because we would understand Judah is the son of Jacob through which the Savior would be born. He goes through the line of David. And it says this in Revelation 5, "Do not weep, see the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." So it's something very special to think of thankfulness being first mentioned at the birth of a son, but not any son, a son who would bring the promised Messiah into the world for his human lineage. Now the last mention of thankfulness is found in Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 to 17, which says this, "And the 24 elders who were seated on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign.'" You see, the last mention of thanksgiving in the Bible is for God's eternal reign. So we see the first mention, it brings the promised son into the picture. And the last mention, it shows the internal position of that promised son, one of everlasting reign and supremacy, the one to whom all praise and thanksgiving will always be due. And it's very interesting to, like, love is a great one to look at, and faith, these topics, when we, what does the Bible want us to understand about them? So when we look at these first references, now it's not always true, it's not a law, it's not going to work every time, but it's generally a good idea when you're doing a word study to look these up. And we can see that thankfulness is centered around the birth of a son and the one that's going to be reigning forever. So in this word study, all I did is I went through every verse in the New Testament that used the word thankfulness, I read them all, and then I started creating categories. What does this category, thankful for what? How does this fit in there? And generally, once you do that, you will have your points for your messages. So it's a pretty easy way to come up with a message. It can be work intensive because you're going through 70 or 100 verses, but it's definitely worthwhile to do it. You don't have to do this thankfulness. It's a great way to get into Bible study, but if you've been studying your Bible for a long time, it's a great way to understand certain topics from the Bible. So we don't bring our preconceived notions of what we think it says. We let the Bible show us what it wants to say about this. So I want to focus on three separate things this morning. I want to focus on thankfulness in the life of Jesus. I want to focus on thankfulness in the life of a believer. And then finally, I'm going to focus on thankfulness in hard times and thankfulness as an opposite. And I'll just pray before we get into the meat of the message. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a time where we can come together and sing praises to you. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the one whom gave it all. Father, we thank you that you were willing to send your son. You thought of our sin and our relationship with you, and you deemed us worth of your son. And Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who would come to this earth and would live a perfect life. He would never have any sin of his own, yet he would be put to death for our sin. Father, we thank you that he is by your side right now. And Father, one day he will have his place of supremacy. But until that day, Father, help us to remember that he is worthy of our everything. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray this. Amen. All right, so thankfulness in the life of Jesus. We're going to look at a passage in John 11 in a second, but thankfulness in the life of Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus is seen giving thanks 16 times, references 16 times in the New Testament. Now, that's not 16 separate times. In fact, 8 of those times are at the 2 different feedings of the 5,000 and the 4,000, where he gives thanks to God and the food is miraculously multiplied to feed 15 to 20,000 people, depending on the circumstance. 6 times are references to the Last Supper, where he's sharing a meal with his loved disciples in the upper room, and he breaks the bread and he gives thanks. Now, we use that as a reference for how we remember the Lord in our first service. One happens when he shares a meal after his resurrection with the 2 followers or the 2 disciples on his road to Emmaus. And finally, the final one is where he gives thanks to the Father before he raises Lazarus from the dead. So in trying to study these 16 things and seeing what are some things that pop out at me, these four things really jumped off the page. These are truths about Christ and thankfulness. First, that Christ's life was defined by thankfulness. Second was the recipient of thankfulness is to be God the Father. Third is thankfulness is a benefit both to the one offering it and to those around them. And then finally, thankfulness reveals God's presence in a believer's life. So Christ's life, it was defined by thankfulness. Now, we do have relatively few instances of Christ audibly thanking the Father. We mentioned five this morning. We mentioned the two meals where he fed the miraculous amount of people, the upper room ministry, the time where he's on the road with the disciples, and then finally the one where Lazarus is raised from the dead. But like other than that, we don't really have a lot of references of Christ audibly giving thanks. What we do have in the Bible are many references to Christ going off on his own to seek prayer time with his Father. And I think if we want to understand Christ's thankfulness to the Father, I think the best way to do that is to look into the story of him raising Lazarus in John 11. John 11, 38 to 44 says this. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb as it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Then Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So just as an aside, this phrase, take off the grave clothes and let him go, just jumped off the page to me. That's nothing to do with thankfulness, and other than that, I'm thankful. But is that not what Christ has done for every believer in the world? He has taken off the grave clothes of sin, and he says, let him go. And it was just a beautiful thought that I had when reading this, but that's not the point. The point of this is in verse 41, it says this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So Jesus was in constant communication with his Father. Now he's audibly speaking. Why is he audibly giving thanks? This is what he says. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit for the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. See, Jesus always did the will of the Father. And one of God's will for mankind is that we would be thankful. So we would always understand that Jesus lived a life of thankfulness. Now we have these relatively few instances of Christ audibly giving thanks, but we would understand that Jesus was in constant communication. Now, very little of what Jesus and his Father talked about and through prayer is recorded for us, but we do see that Christ was defined by thankfulness. All right, so now the second point, the recipient of thankfulness is to be God the Father, as we just read in the story of Lazarus, and we can read in every single instance where Jesus gives thanks, it's always to his Father. Now, that would make sense because Jesus is God and God is talking to God the Father. But if we look up every reference of thankfulness in the New Testament, they all are giving thanks directly to God the Father. They're not giving thanks to the Holy Spirit, and they are not giving thanks directly to Christ. And I think that's an interesting thing that we should understand. And the reason why this is so important is because, like in Ephesians 5:20, we're commanded to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Father is the source of everything good and is deserving of all thanksgiving, of all thanks. But the issue is we don't have access to that source naturally. We don't have access to that source naturally. So that's where Christ comes in. It says, give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Father is the source of everything good and deserve all thanksgiving. And the Son is the path through which we have access to the Father. So we give thanks to God because he is the source of everything good. God the Father. But we, through Jesus Christ, we offer that thanksgiving because we have access to him. Moving along, because we do have some points to hit this morning. Thankfulness benefits both the person offering it and those around them. In every instance of thanksgiving in the life of Christ, where he gives thanks, he then immediately shares with those around him. Whether it's the two feedings of the 5,000, whether it's the upper room ministry, whether it's the breaking of the bread with the two disciples, or finally, whether it's with Lazarus, where he gives thanks and gives Lazarus life. It's important to understand this because thanksgiving in itself is good, but if we are truly thankful, that results in action. If we are truly thankful for God and what he has given us, we're going to talk about a very small amount of things that we can be thankful for, and you mentioned a bunch of them. If we are thankful for these things, how do we show we are thankful? Well, it's accompanied by action. And Christ, his thankfulness was accompanied by action. He gave thanks to God, and he shared with people. Really, he shared his life with everybody. It's the ultimate representation of thankfulness to his Father and a representation of grace and mercy to us. And very similarly, our final point about this is thanksgiving reveals God's presence in the life of a believer. Let's look at Luke 24 now. Sorry if I sound a bit stuffed up. It's weird. Hospitals have these germs everywhere. They don't understand it. But anyways, Luke 24. We're not going to read it all, but the passage we would be looking at is 13 to 35. So Jesus, this is post-resurrection. There are these two, they're called disciples, but they're not of the 11 disciples. One of them is actually named Cleopas. He's named here. But he says, in verse 13, now on the same day, two of them are going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they were discussing these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And really, this passage in itself deserves a full message and has had many messages preached on it. And we're not going to focus on so much of what they talked about, but needless to say, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. So finally, it says in verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road, and he opened the scriptures to us? You see, this passage, it also reveals something to us. That thankfulness reveals God's presence in the life of a believer. Jesus was walking, the resurrected Jesus Christ was walking with these disciples, and they did not recognize who he was until he gave thanks and broke bread with them. And how much should our life be the same? Should people, whether or not they know we are belonging to Jesus Christ, our attitudes and how we act should reveal that to them. Does our thankfulness, does our willing to break bread with people in a sense, whatever breaking bread looks like in your life, does that reveal our presence or God's presence in our life to the people around us? See, these four things that we can really understand that Jesus lived a life of thankfulness, that the recipient of thankfulness is to be God the Father, that thankfulness benefits both the one offering and those around them, and finally, thankfulness reveals God's presence in the life of a believer. These are all just understood and taken from looking at the examples of faithfulness, thankfulness in Jesus' life. But let's move on now. I want to look at thankfulness in the life of a believer. So after those 16 references of Christ giving thanks, we're met with another, I guess it's 59 references or so of thankfulness in other parts of the New Testament. And what do those reveal to us? Well, there are many things that we can be thankful for and should be thankful for, but among the most repeated in those other verses are this: thankfulness for victory over sin, thankfulness as a defining trait of a believer, which we discussed. We'll discuss a bit more in depth. And finally, thankfulness for other Christians and God's work in those Christians' lives. First, and so thankfulness for victory over sin. In Romans 7, Romans 7, Paul has this internal struggle that we read about, in the fact that he has this desire to good. He has this new nature inside of him that desires to honor what God would have him do in his life. But he also realizes that he has this old nature inside of him as well, the one that's at war with the new nature. And he's saying this, as a Christian, he's saying this in verse 24. This is a summation of his thoughts of this internal struggle that he's having. He says, "What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And he answers it immediately, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." One of the biggest things as Christians we need to be thankful for is thankfulness for victory over sin. Thankfulness for a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. In just the previous passage in Romans 6, Paul says this in verse 23. He said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of life eternal." Sorry, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord." See, the sin, the idea of missing God's mark, missing God's perfect standard of holiness, because we miss this mark, sin, the wages of that, what we are due of that, a remuneration for that, is death, and it's separation from God. Humanity on its own is powerless to overcome this. And people for centuries have tried to earn their position, to earn favor with God. And it's just they can never do it on his own. But Paul, he doesn't leave it at wages of sin is death. And he doesn't leave it at the fact that he's a wretched man, that nobody can rescue him. But he answers in both situations, he answers his question. And I really like that. It says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through the Lord Jesus Christ." Right? Is that our response? Both as a non-Christian, when we are confronted with the idea that we can never be good enough to meet God's standard on our own, that we are due this penalty of this wage of sin, which is death, separation from God, no relationship with God. And when we realize that, can we turn to God with thanksgiving and say, "You have paid that price, so I don't have to"? Or as Christians, when we realize that we are in this world, we are not yet perfect and we struggle, can we turn to God and we can say, "Thank God, you have rescued me from the body of death. And I could turn to you now, and whatever struggle I'm facing, yes, it's real and it's burdensome and it's a hard struggle, but I could turn to you and there can be victory found even over the very things I struggle with on a daily basis." Is that our response? Thankfulness for victory over sin. All right, our next one is this: thankfulness is a defining trait of a believer. And I think we could turn to Colossians. Colossians has a lot to say about thankfulness and as a defining trait of a believer. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7 reads like this: "So then, just as have you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then finally, Colossians 3, 15 to 17 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude or thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You see, these are two very strong passages that tell us that a Christian life, one who is living to honor God, it must be defined through and as thankfulness. In fact, it says overflowing with thankfulness. In these verses, they command us to overflow with thankfulness, to be thankful, to sing to God with gratitude or thanksgiving in our hearts. And then finally, it says, if that's not enough, we are to do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. These verses lay out thankfulness in every aspect of our lives. First of all, it captures our thoughts. In our thoughts, we are to be thankful. In our speech, in our singing, we are to be thankful. And then in all of our actions, we are to exemplify thankfulness. See, thankfulness is not an optional thing for a Christian, or it should not be an optional thing for a Christian, but rather it should be the natural, or it should be, it is the natural, or it should be the natural response of a heart transformed by Christ. Not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do. And maybe some of these things that you were talking about being thankful for are easy to be thankful for. But we're going to talk about a couple things in a minute that are sometimes not hard to be thankful for. And we will see that there is a distinct warning in the Bible for ungratefulness. There's a distinct warning for a lack of thankfulness in the Bible. And the most references of thanksgiving or thanks in the New Testament outside of the life of Christ is thanksgiving for other Christians or God's works in the life, or God's work in the life of other Christians. In at least 9 of his letters, Paul specifically addresses and specifically expresses direct thankfulness to God for the believers he is writing to, or the believer he is writing to in terms when he's writing individuals to letters to individual believers. And in many of those letters, he gives thanks for something specific that God is doing in their lives. I think one of the best examples we can see of this, and that's going to work really well into our next topic, is how Paul gives thanks for the believers in the church of Thessalonica. So if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. It says this, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human words, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people in the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. You see, Paul and his co-authors to the church of Thessalonica, and then the Thessalonians, he's saying, I'm thanking God for you and the faith that God has brought up in you. Because what's very important to understand about this church is, I think, maybe perhaps in all of the New Testament, out of all the churches that letters are written to, this church in Thessalonica, they are under immense persecution. It says that there are these Jews that came up, and these critics, and they like, there was this like hate of the Christians in Thessalonica. So much so that Paul writes 2 letters to make sure that they're still keeping on, because he was worried that the persecution would cause their faith to waver. But he's writing here. He says, I thank God continually because when you received the word of God, you accepted it. They accepted it. It wasn't an easy choice for them to accept, but they accepted it. And God, and Paul is giving thanks to God for that. See, seeing God's work at the life of other believers should move us to thankfulness. It should move us to pray for them also when they need help in times like the Church of Thessalonica. But it should move us to thankfulness. Whether those Christians are near to us, our family, our friends, or whether they are farther away from us in other cities that we know of or even other parts of the world, we should express thankfulness for God's work in the life of other believers. And many of the verses in the New Testament focused around thankfulness are focused on giving thanks to God for others. So you certainly, I suspect when you were standing up talking about things that you were thankful for, I think it might be your friends, your family, other believers. Those are amazing things to be thankful for. But there are some times in the New Testament that we are called to be thankful for that I suspect not many word have given something that they're thankful for. And especially, the Bible talks about we should be thankful in hard times. Thankful in hard times. I'm not sure how many of you got up today and said you were thankful for the money trouble you were going through, or you were thankful for the sickness you're dealing with. Or you're like, these are things that are not normal for human nature to be thankful for. But the Bible says we are to be thankful for. But then that begs the question to ask, like, why? Why should I be thankful for these situations? Or maybe the question could be asked, how? How can I be thankful for these situations? Turn to me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, 7 to 15 says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us all of the surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with him to himself. Present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." See, it's easy to be thankful for our salvation. It's easy to be thankful and grateful for the gift that God gives us. It's easy to be thankful and grateful for other believers and the work that God is doing in their lives. But it's much more difficult to be thankful for the hard times in our lives. But the Bible says, especially elsewhere in 1 Thessalonians, you don't have to turn to it, it's very short. We talked about this church who is going through everything. And at the end of the letter, this is what Paul says to the church who is facing this immense persecution, immense hard times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So we have these two aspects. So the questions you're asking is, why should I be thankful? And how can I be thankful? Those are answered in these two passages. The first, why should I be thankful, is answered for us in 1 Corinthians. It says this: "All this is for your benefit." This is Paul speaking on behalf to the Corinthians. "All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow and to the glory of God." You see, thanksgiving in times of trial is a unique aspect to the Christian life, I think. When you're going through a hard time, when we see someone going through a hard time and they are thankful, regardless of the circumstances, that shows true work of God in that person's life. And what that does is that reveals God to others around them. And it says that right there. It says, when people are thankful through times of trouble, it says it will cause thanksgiving to overflow and glory to God to overflow. You see, why should we be thankful in times of hard times, in times of trouble, persecution, or sickness? It's because God is good. And God is not caught off guard by our circumstances. God has a plan for our circumstances. And if we can just trust God in these circumstances, and we can be thankful even in the hard times, it says that that will cause an overflow of thankfulness around us, and it'll bring glory to God. So the answer to why we should be thankful is because God has a plan, and that plan is to allow people to be saved, allow people for his glory to go forth. And that can be done through our hard times. I think it's especially done through our hard times. When Christians are grateful through going through times, that speaks boldly into the life of those around them. Now, the next question is why, and that's answered for us in 1 Thessalonians 5, where he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the answer to why is yes, because God asks us to. But I think more importantly, as notice how it doesn't say if you feel like it, if your emotions are okay, if you're happy enough and you feel enough joy to give thanks. But it says we are to do it regardless of our emotions. And so, I think that's really hard to do, to set emotions aside, because emotions, they play such a big role in our lives. They drive us to do things. They drive us to feel certain ways. But the Bible says, regardless of how we feel about the situation, thankfulness is due to God. But it's also that's not just a single-sided, like we're not just giving thankfulness to God and God gives nothing in return. God has given us everything in return. Regardless of how we feel about the circumstances we face, God's character and his promises never change. He promises that he will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. If you're a Christian, he promises us that we will be with him for eternity. It's an amazing blessing. Okay, next I want to move on to thankfulness as an opposite. Thankfulness as an opposite. See, the Bible gives stern warnings about the effects of a lack of thankfulness that can bring, both in the life of non-believers and in the life of believers. In Romans 1:21, it speaks about the world as a whole and how the world has rejected God and decided to go their own way in the darkness that path can take people on. And specifically in Romans 1:21, it says, "For although they knew God," speaking of the world as a whole, through creation and so forth, other things, "they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But the thinking became futile and the foolish hearts were darkened." See, in the life of an unbeliever, if our response is to hearing about God and his offer of salvation is not thankfulness, or we can use a synonym of acceptance and thankfulness, then we're told that the result is futility. The futility means being incapable of producing any good result. That's the definition of futility. And then it says darkness. So we have one option. The options are thankfulness to God and acceptance, enter into his marvelous light, or we can reject God's offer. And the Bible says that there's futility and darkness. That's for the unbeliever. But also for the believer, there is a very big risk of being ungrateful or having ungratefulness be a quality of our life. Certainly, everybody's going to be ungrateful at times. It's human nature. That's something. But having been ungrateful as a consistent ungratefulness. And we'll read the two passages. In Ephesians 5:4, it says, "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, we have some very real warnings here that if we are not thankful, the opposite of thankfulness is foolish talking, obscenity, coarse joking. Right? It's not like I'm not going to be thankful, but I'm not going to do these other things. Like, we're either thankful or we're given to these other things. And then it says this. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." And it says, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." If we want one of the ways to defeat anxious thoughts, anxiety in our lives, is to show thankfulness to God. Because what we had just talked about previously. So there is this warning to believers and non-believers about the idea of we need to be thankful people. But also, I think one of the best results, and in conclusion, I'll close with this, is we need to be thankful people because thankfulness is going to be the occupation of eternity. Thankfulness is going to be the occupation of eternity. The three references in Revelation to thanks are as follows, and I'll read them for you. You don't have to turn to each one. Revelations 4:8-9, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, day and night. They never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures gave, give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the thrones and who lives forever and ever. Sorry, I'll read that again. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And then it continues on from there. But we'll turn to Revelation 7 now, or I'll read it for you. Revelation 7, verses 11 to 12 says this, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then the other verse we had already read this morning in Revelation 11, 16 to 17, it says, the 24 elders who were seated on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, because you have taken the great power and have begun to reign. You see, thankfulness is not just limited to humanity. Here we read of these, three groups, we read of these four living creatures who are part of the angelic host. We read of all the angels in heaven, and then we read of these 24 elders. And in Revelation, the 24 elders are a picture of the church sitting at Christ's side. So that's it's the church that it's referring to. And we see that for in eternity in heaven, the response of all of these created beings, humanity and angels alike who are with God, are one of thankfulness. Even these amazing, awesome living creatures that we have these descriptions of. See, we truly know very little about what eternity holds, what heaven holds. We're given glimpses into heaven. We know two things are true. Well, we know many things are true, but two of the most important things that are true are this, that one, when we die, if you're a Christian, you will be with Jesus forever. And in fact, we are seated with him at his Father's side. That's what the picture of those 24 elders sitting on the throne. We're ruling with Christ. What an amazing blessing it is. Another thing that we know for sure is eventually sin and death will be done away with forever in eternity. It'll be thrown into the lake of fire. But the finer things of eternity, we don't know a lot about. But we do know one thing, is that thankfulness will be ever present in eternity. And I don't think it'll just be for the things that God has done for us in the past when we're eternity, but I think God will prove time and time again that he is worthy of our thankfulness for the things he will show us and he will do for us. See, if thankfulness is to be our occupation in eternity, I truly think it should be our lifestyle today. It should be my lifestyle today. And sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful when we're facing hard times. But all we have to do is we have to look at who God is and what God has done. And if we can look back, if we can look past our current emotion, our pain, which I'm not saying those are not valid. They are certainly valid. But if we can look past that, we can look to what God has promised for us and the fact that God has never failed, we can be thankful. You see, Christ, his life was defined by thankfulness. The Bible has so many things we are to be thankful for. Amongst them, are thankful being for victory over sin, for the other believers in our life, even when we're going through hard times. We need to be very careful that we are defined by thankfulness, because if we're not defined by thankfulness, we are defined by things that are less optimal. And in the end, thankfulness will be an occupation in eternity. It'll be a joyful thing to praise and thank God forever, and not just for he has shown us, but I truly believe for what he will show us. But until then, let's be a thankful people. I want my life to be defined by thankfulness next week. Wouldn't that be a great thing to somebody look at your life and see his life was defined by thankfulness? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time to look into your word and get a quick glimpse at thankfulness in your word. Father, we thank you for the example of your son who was always thankful. Father, who always desired to serve you with every aspect of his life, every aspect of his being. Father, we thank you for his example and how he lived and how he would constantly desire to share with others. Father, we pray that we would be able to look upon that example and follow it. Father, we thank you for victory over sin, that we no longer have to worry about suffering this death, the wage of sin, but you have rescued us from the body of death. You have thrown us these grave clothes, Father. Father, we thank you for the other believers in our lives, or maybe the other believers that we've heard of that we don't personally know. Father, we are thankful for them, and we pray that you bring them through the struggles that they are going through. Father, we even thank you for the hard times. We know that we have a God who will never leave nor forsake us. Father, whose promises are yea and amen. And Father, we look forward to eternity and the blessings and the amazing things you will show us. But until then, Father, help us to be thankful people, for we have nothing left. We have nothing but to be thankful for everything you have given us. Father, we ask that you part us with your blessing today. Father, we thank you for the many people represented here. Father, if there's anybody who does not know your son personally, we pray that they would see him for who he is this morning. We pray this in your son's most precious name. Amen. Have a great day.